It is our joy to present to you a third series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and is well known as an author, lecturer, and retreat master. In the conferences in this series, Father treats of many topics of present-day interest to any Catholic. They will prove to be of assistance to anyone sincerely trying to live a Christian life in today's world, whether he be layman, religious, or priest. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the teaching of the Church on formation in the religious life. Father Hardin.
We address ourselves, therefore, to the teaching of the Church on continued formation in the religious life. It may seem strange at first sight to hear that the Church is not only interested, but concerned that religious receive continued, not just preliminary formation, during the whole of their religious lives. What makes it strange, perhaps, is the fact that we have commonly associated the term formation with preparation. And we are therefore surprised to have the same word used to describe what must be different, as it is, than mere preparation, which normally comes in the postulancy, novitiate, and the period of the junior professed, before final vows. But if the word is unusual, the fact is not. Religious need to be continually formed through the whole of their lives. Of course, this means properly formed at the risk of becoming deformed, but authentic formation is indispensable. For the present conference, I should like to do two things. First, briefly state and explain the Church's own teaching on the subject. In the Second Vatican Council's decree, Perfecte Caritatis, and then give some reason why such continued formation is today more than ever critically, crucially necessary. The Church's teaching in Perfecte Caritatis, after explaining the need for careful training of the young religious before fully entering into the stream of apostolic life, the Council states, I quote, "Religious must strive during the whole course of their lives to perfect." That means to make more perfect the training they have received in matters spiritual and, surprisingly, in the arts and sciences. Likewise, superiors must, as far as this is possible, obtain for them the opportunity equipment, and time to do this. Unquote. You might consider me part of the equipment. Behind these apparently prosaic words lies a deep principle, namely, as the Council declared, that renewal and adaptation of religious institutes mainly depends on the education of their members. That is a very large statement, that it mainly depends on the education they receive. On both levels, therefore, the interior renewal of spirit and the balanced accommodation to the times depend, and I don't want to let go of the word mainly, the Latin is maxime, on the continued education of religious. This stands to reason. I might say it also stands to faith. Since whatever we love depends on what we love, and our service grows out of our love, unless we first know what we love, why we should love it, and how we are to love it, love grows cold and finally dies out. If for no other reason than other loves enter into competition. Knowledge, then, is the foundation of love, and without it, no affection is secure, and no dedication is really worthy of the name. No wonder, then, that the Church tells us in a solemn conciliar decree that if religious are in their institutes even to survive, not to say prosper, in today's complex and confused world, its members must receive continued education in the spiritual life, but also in other allied fields according to their spirituality. Then, realistically, realizing that this finally depends on superiors, the Council declares that superiors must provide three things: opportunity, time, and facilities for such continued formation. They should provide the opportunity, which means obtaining or discovering the persons and places and programs by which or by whom such continued formation can be given. They should provide the time. The normal objection that the sisters are too busy or too needed for their work, according to the mind of the Church, is irrelevant. We always find time for what we consider be important. Time must be found. If it cannot be found, it should be made. That's a new expression. You make time once the right priorities are recognized. Superior should also provide the equipment necessary. This means adequate books, library facilities, recordings, and a quiet place psychologically suited for prayerful, studious reflection. No doubt, all of this may sound odd if we think in preconciliar categories. I seldom use that adjective. It is so loaded with debris. But if we take the Church's declaration seriously, we can see the profound wisdom in its teaching. The mind, and the mind alone, feeds the will and emotions. We love what we know. And we feel as we think, being human beings. Unless the mind is fully convinced, and that conviction is sustained, it cannot motivate the will. Unless the minds of religious are adequately and accurately convinced of the sublimity of the religious life, the dignity of the religious life, the revealed character and faith foundations of the religious life, the problems and obstacles of religious life, and the most serious problems and obstacles are not outside of us, they are deep down inside. And unless religious are convinced of the God-given responsibilities of the religious life, all the early years of training will be worse than wasted. They can become the excuse for a cynical rebellion against a lifetime commitment which the young religious, now grown older, thought was an earthly paradise of spiritual delight, and then discovered it is a vocation to carry the cross. In the Church's teaching, since Vatican II, there is no single theme to which the Holy See returns more often and with more insistence than this one, addressed especially to superiors. In God's name, continue to educate your members in the religious life. Otherwise, you will lose them, either physically by defection or spiritually by having persons in religion who are not equipped to meet the gravest crisis in Christianity, at least since the 16th century, if not since apostolic times. In the last 7 years, vocations to religious communities of women in the United States have dropped by 87%. And 1967 was not a peak year. But for 100 candidates then, only 13 this year, and the end is not in sight. So much for quoting and brief commentary on the Church's teaching. Now we ask, why, beyond what we have seen, continued formation? Let me capsulize the reasons under three words: motivation, implementation, and protection. By motivation, I mean that religious must be provided with deep faith reasons. That's an odd combination. Deep faith reasons for their commitment all through life. Sustained commitment demands sustained motivation. This sustained motivation, we are told by spiritual writers, is the most important single requisite for any achievement in the spiritual life. It is true we know of all other enterprises, business, industry, the academic field, constantly motivating people who may originally have been very dedicated to the cause, otherwise things become routine, the mind gets bored, and commitment lags, and finally disappears. If this is true of other enterprises in fields that are not spiritual, how much more so in that most arduous enterprise of a total consecration of one's noblest natural powers to God, of the right of procreation, of the right to personal autonomy, and the right to possession of things I can call my own. Add to this superhuman, and that's what it is, Holocaust, the element of its lifelong duration, and you begin to understand why so many religious have gone back on their vows. They have not been sufficiently sustained by continued intelligent motivation to not only give themselves to God, but continue giving to God what they had originally consecrated to Him. The will as such, we know or should know, is a blind faculty. It must be enlightened by the mind. Otherwise, what the will has undertaken, the will can also abandon. When you watch two people pledging their love until death do us part on their wedding day, who would dream that that pledge would be withdrawn? But it is. And we have now reached in our country the incredible rate of over one-third as many divorces as there are marriages. All of our large cities with a divorce rate of over 50%. Consequently, just because the will undertakes to give itself generously does not mean that will is going to remain dedicated, and it will not. And that's the right expression to use regarding the will. The will not sustain its dedication if the light of the mind, which gives the will the reasons, has gone out. The mind is the light for the will. It must see where it is going and why. That's for sustained motivation. Secondly, implementation. By implementation, I mean that religious must correspondingly be provided with knowledgeable ways of living out their personal commitments and with ways of working in the apostolate in today's world. And that apostolate goes for all religious. In a world which is not the world of the 1920s, let alone the world of the 19th or 18th centuries, it is all very well to talk about renewal and adaptation. Everybody is for it. And then piously repeat the words of the council. It is something else to know how the renewal and adaptation are to be worked out in practice. Notice what we are saying, that if the will must be constantly motivated so as to know what it should remain dedicated to, it must also be continually enlightened as to how it should do it. Lest we think this is placing too much emphasis on the mind, what a misunderstanding. The foundation of the spiritual life is our faith, and the virtue of faith is a virtue of the mind. as I illustrate when I teach this in a classroom, I place faith on the bottom. I draw a line above faith, on top of which I put hope. On top of that, I write the word charity. You remove faith, there is no foundation for hope, and surely none for love. There is no substitute here for knowledge. Correct knowledge based on sound resources of our faith and human reason.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.